Hello, I'm Pastor Rod Holler of the Cape Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. I hope this message will be a blessing to you. Thanks for listening.
The Prayer of Jabez. Let us read 1 Chronicles 4:10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. A short prayer, but a powerful prayer. I marvel sometimes at the richness of the Word of God when you take a simple passage like this and you go to the commentaries and there is page after page after page of insights that God has moved men to feed upon the Word of God, even though there is not a lot there per se, but there is much in it for depth and content. This short prayer is a prayer for spiritual blessings. It's a prayer expressive of a humble dependence upon God for daily blessings. It is marked by holy distrust of himself, keep me from evil, including his personal sin nature and including temptations from without. Jabez was of the tribe that would bring forth Messiah, the tribe of Judah. This prayer is in a list of genealogies where it's name after name after name. In one respect, we know little about him, but isn't that true of all of God's saints? I should say, isn't that true of most of God's saints? The truth is, the world has little knowledge of most of God's people. They've lived humble lives. Wherever God has planted them, they lived their days, and then God took them home. But God knows. God knows. Jabez's immediate family was that his mother bore him with sorrow. Look at verse 9, 1 Chronicles 4:9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. So he was born, and his mother was sorrowing or grieving at that time. What was the sorrow? Maybe, we don't know, maybe his birth was more painful than others, causing her grief. Maybe he was handicapped some way. Maybe she just saw him as another mouth to feed in an already struggling family. We don't know, but we know this. The sorrow was so real to her, she named her son Jabez, which means trouble or grief or sorrow. What a way to come into this world. His mother's specific sorrow is unknown, but she grieved so desperately at the birth of this child that she labeled him the rest of his days grief or sorrow. In those days, names meant something. We don't usually think too much of naming our child because of the meaning of the name. Usually we pick a name anymore because we like it, or maybe it remembered us of something. But in those days, and often in the Bible, a name really meant something. And in this case, surely it did mean something. It says, because she bore him in sorrow, she gave him the name that means grief or sorrow. Every time she looked at her son, she was reminded of her agony. Is this what God wants believers to do? Does that tell you a little bit about the family he was born into? I perceive mom was a very discouraged person. And instead of looking at the birth of her child as a blessing of God, she just saw problems. She didn't see him as a blessing. Do you come from a family that's discouraged? Did your parents not see the goodness of God? Did you grow up with pessimists and worry and maybe fighting? And every time they looked at you, you reminded them of agony and frustration? Maybe you did. I perceive that's very much the family that Jabez grew up in. And she put on her son the mark of her unhappy life. And yet he grew up to be more honorable than all his brethren. Don't blame your childhood. Don't blame your parents. Because God does not make any mistakes where you are born. He does not owe you an apology
for the time you were born, for the family you were born, for the location where you were born, for whatever circumstances that were in the middle of great sorrow and grief, he owes you no apology. And this man came into this family, and they were not looking at my brethren, count it all joy. He was born into a mother that saw sorrow, and she said, you are Jabez, sorrow, grief. Wouldn't you pity the kid if you were his next door neighbor, that mom would name him that? Yet in the midst of this genealogy, Jabez is given a pause. Let us read 1 Chronicles 4, 1 through 12. The sons of Judah, Phares, Hezron, Carmi, Hur, Shobal, Reaiah, the son of Shobal begot Jahath, and Jahath begot Ahumai and Lahad. These are the families of the Zorathites. And these were the father of Etam, Jezreel, and Ishma, and Idbash. And the name of their sister was Hazelelponi, and Penuel, the father of Gedor, and Ezer, the father of Hushna. These are the sons of Hur, the firstborn of Ephratah, the father of Bethlehem. And Asher, the father of Tekoa, had two wives, Hela and Nerah. And Nerah begot him Azram, and Hefer, and Temani, and Heshetari. These are the sons of Nerah. The sons of Hela were Zereth, and Jozuar, and Ethnon, and Koz begot Anub, and Zibabah, and the families of Aharel, the son of Haram. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. And Chileb, the brother of Shua, begat Meher, which was the father of Eshton. And Eshton begat Beth-Rapha, and Pizziah, and Tenanah, and the father of Inashish. These are the men of Rekah. And it goes on, and on, and on. And the Holy Ghost moved the author of Chronicles to stop and pause on the name of Jabez. And the Holy Spirit moved upon this holy man of old that we saw in 2 Peter to pause on the name of Jabez. If God were writing the genealogies today, would he pause on your name? I hope so. He was more honorable than all his brethren, and yet he had a name of sorrow. The ancient scribe was writing one name after another in genealogical order with great precision and was moved to not merely record his name, but his righteous character. Would God pause on your name? He's born into a challenging family situation, but God made no mistake. His mother was experiencing sorrow, and she impressed it upon her son. For some purpose that God knows only, he allowed this. Why me, dear God? Why did I get the name sorrow? Why did my mother look at me in sorrow? Why didn't she look at all my brothers and sisters in sorrow? Why was it me? Okay, let's bring it around to our Wednesday night study. Why is it me that gets stuck out here watching the sheep when my brothers are the ones being presented to become the king of Israel? Why does my father Jesse put them the second time in front of Samuel? God didn't make a mistake. There's one more. David, bring him in. And he was anointed. God did not make a mistake. God knew David was to be the next king, and he did not let any effort of man thwart that goal and purpose. God knew that Jabez would be born into a family of sorrow, and he allowed it. We must accept life's sorrows, see God's hand in it, accept it, and in Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things. Do you give thanks always for all things? Or are you like Jabez's mother? Do you see it sorrow? Are you ready to name things in your life? That sorrow and that sorrow and that sorrow. Or are you going to name it, give thanks, give thanks, give thanks? Jabez did not allow his family's sorrow to hold him back spiritually. He bore this unhappy name all his days, but he overcame it and became an honorable man. He did not fail in life and blame his childhood. Don't blame other people. God expected David to be spiritual in a pile of ashes when he was ready to be stoned. God expected Joseph to be spiritual in an Egyptian jail cell. God expected Moses to be spiritual 40 years tending sheep. God expected Paul to be holy and spiritual in a Roman jail cell. And God expected Jabez to be holy and righteous in a family that named him and saw him as sorrow. Don't blame your family. It is ironic that this woman would name her son Sorrow, yet he was going to be more honorable than his brethren. He would be known as a man of prayer. He would be one that would be listed in the scriptures of all time that God could answer his prayer, and she saw him as sorrow. Wake up. Do you realize this, folks? She looked at her son and said, he is sorrow. Because when she looked at him, she saw a dim, dismal future. But what was the real future? He was honorable. What she thought in her other children wasn't sorrow. But what she thought was sorrow didn't come to be. It was the very thing that was honorable. Folks, let us get our thinking straight. Don't name that which is good, name it sorrow. Her doubts and fears of the future sorrow from this kid never came to pass. You're sorrow. No, I'm not. I'm going to be the blessing. I'm going to be your son that's going to be listed in Scripture as honorable. Let us be careful what we call sorrow, what God calls a blessing. She saw her other children not as sorrow, but we don't know anything about them. We only know about the one that she thought was sorrow. Did you ever stop and think that by being labeled for whatever reason sorrow, that drove him to prayer? Has God allowed you for some reason to suffer some seeming injustice? Some seeming weight that you bore that your brothers and sisters didn't bear? And God says, I will use that. I perceive this may have driven him to God. And that distinguished him to be more honorable than his brethren. Let us consider this man's prayer. Verse 10, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him all that he requested. Note the boldness that he prayed for himself. You see it? Oh, that thou would bless me, enlarge my coast, that thine hand might be with me, that you would keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. And yet God answered his prayer. He asked for God's richest blessings to be upon himself. He had asked for his coast to be enlarged, and he asked for God to be with him, and God deliver me from evil. And God answered. I want to start out looking at this with Jabez recognized who he prayed to, and Jabez called on the God of Israel. He realized who he was speaking to in prayer. You are the God of Israel. You are the God that has chosen these people. You are the God that allowed them to be brought down into Egyptian bondage. You are the God that heard their cry. You are the God that raised up a Moses. You are the God that allowed Moses to have those incredible contests with Pharaoh. The darkness, the light, the lice, the frogs, the blood, all therein, ending in the Passover. The night when the death angel came and the Egyptians suffered the death of the firstborn. You are the God that moved those Egyptians, get them out of here, and they left. You are the God that opened up the Red Sea. It slapped shut. The Egyptian army was done. You took them to a promised land of 40 years of wandering through the wilderness under Joshua's leadership. The Jordan parted. They had the walls of Jericho fall down. You're the God that gave them a conquest over 31 kings. That's the God I'm praying to. Do you really have a picture of the God you're praying to? Go out at night and look up. I can honestly say I do that periodically. Go out and look up. those stars are held in place. If he can hold that all in place, can he give you a hamburger tomorrow? Yeah. That's the God we call on. The God that not only created it all, he sustains it all. I can't grasp that that doesn't end. Because if it ends, what's on the other side? That's the God we call on. That God is so far beyond our comprehension, we can't comprehend it. Duh. That was brilliant, wasn't it? Jabez says, I'm calling on the God of Israel. We ought not to examine the prayer without pausing to observe to whom it is addressed. It is not stated that Jabez called on God, but on the God of Israel. He knew who he was calling on. He was calling on the divine power of all of the universe. So it is. Jesus Christ taught in his teachings on how to pray, when ye pray, say, Luke 11:2, Our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And so it is, Jabez realized the God that he called on. Consider the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. His first request, bless me. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. A wise request, because he is acknowledging the source of any blessing, of all blessing, is God Almighty, the God in heaven. The only reason we have anything is because of God. We brought nothing in this world, and we're going to take nothing out. But praise God, we can send it on ahead by our deeds and our righteousness. What a wise request he does. He says, send me the blessings, though it may not seem like a blessing to me. Maybe being named sorrow wasn't such a great thing to him, but God saw it as very good. How many times does God bring things that we may not seem them to be a blessing, but they surely are? And deny not that, that in my ignorance I may think it's a blessing. Deny me. Don't let me have that. Sometimes we think, oh, this would be good. Bless me with this. And God is saying, you don't understand. I can't give you that. And so it is. There are things that we say, no, God, not that. And God says, yes, that's the very thing you need. Oh, Lord, give me this. No, no, you don't understand. And so it is. He says, bless me. I see a blanket there. He trusts God. You give me what I need. And don't give me what I don't need. I let it up to you. Not to be said that we're not allowed to pray specifically, but surely the mindset that we lay in God's hands, the ultimate decision, and is for us to be thankful. There are many apparent blessings that are really cursings. One commentator lists health. Its tendency is to remove us far from thoughts of death and eternity, that a man to make him more or less satisfied with the things of the presence and draw comfort from the creature instead of the creator. Sometimes good health can be a curse. Money. It shuts up the heart, stiffens pride, and becomes a temptation and a snare. How about the good opinion and praise of men? Does that seem like a blessing? It distracts the believer to personal glory and recognition rather than giving it to the one who alone is worthy of such praise. Sometimes what looks to be blessings, God says, no, no, they're not blessings. How about things that seem to be a curse, but they're really a blessing? Ill health. It drives us to look to God. How about limited money? Oh, Lord God, why don't you set me free? Why do I live check to check? Because it makes you dependent on me. If I didn't do that, you would tend to wander. How about persecution? Keeps everything in focus. And then, of course, there are blessings which we recognize and they're real. How about the fear of the Lord? How about God's favor? How about the revelation of Jesus Christ in our understanding? How about a greater trust in God? And how about a hunger for God's word? These are real blessings. Jabez's second request, enlarge my coast. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." It is believable that in the literal context, that possibly he lived in the promised land, but they had to go in and conquer it and drive out the enemies. It's very believable that there were Canaanites left over in the land that maybe were intruding upon his inheritance, and he needed to have that enlarged and drive them out. Could be. We don't necessarily know exactly. I don't think he was saying, "Help me to infringe upon my brother's land and shrink his." I don't think God could have blessed that. I do think, though, that God could have blessed him when he said, "I have given you in the book of Joshua this promised land. Go conquer it." Oh, that God would clear the ground around him and give him room to function in. Lord, enlarge my coast. Believers, how do we pray for our coast to be enlarged? How about that God would expand our narrow thinking, that we would see a bigger picture beyond our little life? The bigger picture and reality of the truth of this world, of this universe. How about that we would have a better and a larger understanding of spirituality? Ephesians 3:14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with his might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints the breadth, length, depth, height, to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that ye might be filled with all fullness of God." Now to him that's able to do exceeding abundantly, enlarge our coast to understand, dear God, who does exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Unto him be glory in the church of Christ Jesus throughout the ages without world. Amen. Paul is saying for the people of Ephesus, I'm praying that God would help you to understand the unbelievable God that we serve. He's beyond comprehension. We need to ask that God would truly enlarge our borders of our usefulness, to be a more active member in Christ's body, to be more abundant in the fruits of righteousness, to be more devoted to God's work and service, to be more profitable to our brother and fellow creatures. And so it is Jabez prays for his coast to be enlarged. Did you know that sometimes if we pray for God to expand our effectiveness and our coasts and our understanding, it often means trials and tribulation to help us to learn. Be prepared. When you ask for God to open up your understanding and your usefulness, be prepared. He'll say, "You got it." You may not understand the answer, but it'll come through trial and tribulation. The third request, that thine hand might be with thee. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me." Is it not logical that he would pray that God would expand his coast, and then the very next breath, "You have to be with me if you're going to expand this coast, because I can't do it. But I want to be all that I can for you here in this earth. And if you're going to expand my coast, I'm going to need more of your power in my life to be able to do what you have enlarged me to do." Do you want to be used more for God? Be prepared. If he's going to be with you, he's going to prepare you for a larger ministry. More dependence on God. And so it is Jabez promptly asks, "Oh God, put your hand on me." Because we know in John 15:5, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. Without me, you can do nothing. Oh God, put your hand on me." Because Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me." The worldly man goes out in his own strength and trusts in his own abilities. Seldom does he feel the need to look to a higher power than his own wisdom. But the believer goes forth in the strength of the Lord, and he can do wonders. But let him at any time forget to pray, and he is soon made to feel that he's a man who hath no strength. I remember many, many years ago reading the biography or autobiography, I think it was, of Ray Kroc, the man that founded McDonald's. And he at one point had said, talked about something in his endeavors, and he said, I felt like Samson with a fresh haircut, talking about how weak he felt. That's how we'll be when we're not praying. Jabez prays that the hand of God would be with him, that hand to direct, support, supply, and chasten. Oh, we need the corrective hand of God upon us. We ought to pray, like Jabez, that God would direct and lead in our lives. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. And sometimes he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. But I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And so it is. He realizes his responsibilities, but he calls upon God. If you're going to expand my coast, surely you must be with me. Keep your hand on me. And that thine hand may be with me, that thy power enhance and give effect to my poor energies. What can my hand do without thee? But thy hand has created and sustains the universe. That's the God we call on. The fourth request, keep me from evil. He says, Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And so it is that he is concluding his prayer the same way Jesus Christ taught, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. Because spiritual evil is the very thing which truly grieves the believer. Natural evil is painful and unwelcome, but evil to the soul is that which harms and does true damage. Jabez does not ask that evil not come. He asks that God would be with him and deliver it from it. Trials coming and trying the believer often do great good, but he prayed as we must all pray that they should not grieve him. Deliver us from the evil, that it may not grieve me. We must pray that our evil that comes in our lives would not stir up wrath and bitterness against God, would not make us fretful, rebellious, and impatient, or tempt us to sin. Oh, that God would keep me from evil, that it not grieve me. Think about that. What does the name Jabez mean? Sorrow or grief? And his mother looked at him and her situation in life and said, You are grief. But he, as an honorable man, prays to God, Sin is grief. She saw the trials of life as grief for whatever reason. We don't know exactly what was the source of her sorrow other than something to do with Jabez. And she saw that and the future as dismal, and she said, That is grief. But he grew up to be an honorable man, and he said, No, deliver me from evil, that it may not grieve me. My mother had a warped opinion of what sorrow and grief was. I'm not the problem that you have looked in me and listed me and marked me all my days as a problem. Mom, the real problem is evil. It's sin. That's the problem. And Jabez grew up in a family, and he still learned that great truth. Evil is the greatest trouble of all good men. Not only the wiles of Satan and the snares and temptations, but also the evil that lies within us, ever ready to rear its ugly head. And God answered the prayer. Let us read the last phrase of verse 10. And God granted him that which he requested. The only way we can get a prayer like this answered is by having a life that is pleasing in according to God's will. Ask in Jesus' name. We've gone over 3 sessions on things that will hinder our prayers. Obviously, apparently, Jabez had nothing that would hinder God's hand from answering. Tells us more about this man. His life apparently pleased God. And he asked for things that God could give him. God's up there saying, I can answer that, I can answer that, I can answer that. And answered it was to the full, not in part but in whole. He was granted that which he requested. It was bestowed on him. His requests were surely large in scope. And God answered large in kind. Listen! Ask big! Ask big! We have a big God! Enlarge my coast! Keep me from evil! Keep your hand upon me! We serve the God of the universe, and that's who we call on. We have not because we ask not. If Jabez had not asked, guess what? We would not be reading, and God granted him that which he requested. Ask! Ask! God hears prayer, God answers prayer, and God answers and gives us what we ask. He came to the God who's ready to give if only he's asked. Jabez came to the God who is comprehensive in his gifts. Jabez came to the God who never forgets his promises to those who seek him. And Jabez came to the God who will honor those with his blessings who honor them with their confidence and trust in him. The prayer itself shows that Jabez recognized who God was and he approached him with due respect and honor. The prayer shows that Jabez asked, realizing that God is the source of all blessings. Jabez asked to be personally blessed, his coast to be enlarged, and God to be with him. Jabez asked to be delivered from evil, and yet note the brevity of the prayer. God is not impressed with all of our words. God is impressed with the sincerity of the prayer. How long can you pray before it becomes vain repetition? Not very long. Read the prayers in Scripture. How long are they? If you want to test sometime, read one and time it. And God says, don't pray with vain repetitions. Matthew 6:7. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions. How long can you pray before God's up there going, enough, enough, I heard you. Yes, we're to be constant in prayer, right? Pray without ceasing. I believe that's to be in a mindset, in a relationship with God. And his prayer was surely in earnest. Oh, that thou would bless me. Indeed. Lord God, he prayed boldly and with confidence. The Lord will do for believers today as he did for Jabez. He will pour out his richest blessings. He will enlarge the believer's territory to meet his every need and goal and service that he has for his purpose for him. He will grant his presence for by guiding, directing, and helping every step through which we're called to do. And he'll deliver us from the evil. He'll deliver us. He will strengthen us to walk victoriously through our life's suffering, pain, and trouble. I want to conclude with this quote from one of the commentators of old. The very situation of this text is worth remarking. It stands in the very midst of genealogies. Why those names are so particularly put upon record, or why nothing more besides the name, is not very easy to discover. Perhaps it was to let us see the multitudes of persons live upon the earth of whom, when you have told the name, you have told all that's worth mentioning. Great men they may be in their generations, men of renown in an earthly point of view, yet in the sight of God, insignificant and worthless. But, however this may be, here's one person at least, whom the Word of God is not content with barely mentioning. It is said of him he was more honorable than his brethren. In whatever points he was so, in this especially, that whereas the Holy Spirit barely runs over the names of others and tells nothing else of them, when he comes to Jabez, he stops short. Something he relates concerning Jabez, which he evidently holds forth to our praise and imitation. What is the fact in the history of Jabez, what the Holy Ghost hath thought worthy of record? Is it any battle that he fought, or any exploit he performed? Is it any proof he gave of earthly wisdom or of earthly policy? No! These are indeed the things which dazzle human eyes and which please the pens of human writers, but not so the great God. The events he dwells on in the history of Jabez is one which many earthly penmen would have scorned to write of. He takes us to this good man's closet and tells of a prayer he offered there. All amidst the multitude of things which are going on upon this earth, amidst the manifold events which man calls great, there is nothing in God's sight half so considerable as the prayer of a poor, humble soul for mercy and acceptance. That's why we know of Jabez. He got alone with God in his closet, the God of Israel. I am a man labeled sorrow all my days, but dear God, I seek your face. And God obviously honored his life by granting him his requests. That's why we know the name of Jabez. Folks, when time is no more, no one's going to remember you and me and what we did on this earth. They're going to remember what we did for God. I've asked many times, sometimes of the famous people or supposedly famous people throughout history, and we don't know. Napoleon in his vainer moments, he was in his office and he said to his secretary, "You'll be famous in history." And the secretary said, "Why is that?" And Napoleon said, "Because you're my secretary." And the secretary said, "Name Alexander's secretary." And obviously he couldn't do it. Folks, it's not the great things we do, earthly speaking. It's what we do for God. And when we get in our closet and we confess our dependency on him, that is pleasing to God. That's why Jabez was remembered and his name was paused and the penman wrote about this man who was more honorable than his brother.
This is Pastor Rod Holler. I pray you enjoyed that message. Thanks for listening.